Thank you. Good morning, everyone. I would like to thank NACA and Austrian partner for sponsoring and give me the opportunity to be here. A member of Centech Trims Thailand, and this is a group of team vehicles. I joined the group like 3 years ago, roughly the same time that EMS spread in Thailand. This is like to give you some like chronicle like spreading of the disease. It's starting from southern China, and then they spread to Vietnam and Malaysia, and finally into Thailand. We got the report from the farmers. If you look at the map here, I make like the red lines over there. And first report is in the eastern Gulf of Thailand. When that was the area that the disease first report. We went to collect the samples at that area and also in the middle area, Pachor Port area. And what we found is that most of the sample that we collect didn't show up, like when we did the histological analysis, it didn't show up the typical phenotype of the happens. So we didn't know why, but we continue collecting further to isolate for the bacteria that cause of happen. And this one is a growth size according to Professor Leitner. On the right side is the white types and healthy trims, and you can see that they show a bit darker colors in normal trims when it's affected by the disease. The hepatopancreas will have like a lighter color and shrunken hepatopancreas. Actually, when we got some sample from the farmers, it depends also on the container colors that we got. For example, they put the trims into the white container. Sometimes we experience like the light color of the hepatopancreas, but when we put it back into the darker color, the color of hepatopancreas will be turned darker as a normal one. So sometimes it confused us a little bit in the beginning that we collect the sample. But most of the key diagnostic feature is the histological anatomy. And in the right side, I show you the normals, and probably you will see like the well-organized hepatopancreatic cells and many cell types over there aligned in the like circular shape. And in contrast to the happen hepatopancreas, probably you see lots of the sloughing cells, as you know. And the first case that report is from Dr. Leitner that he found that Vibrio paramyelitis was the cause of the disease, and this is the protocol that he used. And when we did our work at Centex, we also used the same protocol as he did, so we call it Loctran Lab infection models. We isolate many of the bacteria, not only Vibrio paramyelitis, but also some other bacteria too. And the first priority we test, because Dr. Leitner report about the Vipara, so we just take some up to our Vipara from the stock. At least four of them were tested. And we follow the same protocol that Loctran did. First, we use the colony from the agar and make them broth culture. And when the bacterial density reach 10 to the 8, we will submerge the trim for 15 minutes before we release the trim into the tank. And the final concentration of the bacteria in the tank is about 10 to 6. And this is the what we got from our four isolates. And what we show here is like they have some variation in virulence. And the bacteria, this one is from the single farm. You will see on the control lines, there is that one also the bacteria, but that SO2 is from the strain that we got isolated from 2002 before the happen outbreaks. And the high mortality lies is from the one that we isolate from the 2012. And the 3HP and 5HPs, and also from the China strain, China and the SO2 is kind of reference strain. And we have got this one as well. Like most of them show relatively high mortalities. But when we check the happen histopathologies, not all of them show the happen histopathologies. For example, in the 2HP, we didn't get the happen histopathology. And this one, I show you one by one of the histopathology of the strain challenged with the four bacterial isolates. In the right corner is the control, and you can see the clear happen histopathology, the sloughing of the cells. But what happened to the 2HP is not show up kind of sloughing cells, but kind of flattened like epithelial or the tubules instead. So this one just summarized for the 2HP and some small meeting with some Japanese scientists that they got our strain and they brought back to Japan for sequencing. And okay, let's go one by one. And even though the 2HP caused relatively high mortalities, it doesn't cause like happen histopathologies. And as you know that we also test with the PCR using AP2 primers, and this 2HP also gave the positive for the AP2 primers. And histopathology in the 2HP is they identify as a collapsed HP tubule epithelial. And as I mentioned earlier, Dr. Hirono from Tokyo University's of Marine Science and Technologies, he got our strain, 2HP strain, and also the strain isolate from CP Thailand, that virulence one and also non-virulence one, and he sequenced all of them, compared them, and he found that in the strain, that virulence, they contained at least two plasmids that probably important for making the toxin or something, yeah. And in case of 2HP, I'm not exactly know the locations because he didn't show us in the details the sequencing data. He mentioned that in the 2HP isolates, they show up like small mutations in the area of the plasmid that expect to be virulence. And for the other one, that positive for AP2, but non-pathogenic, this one he got from CP, and they show some kind of a big deletion in the same region. And our hypothesis is the site that Dr. Hirono mentioned may be responsible for the virulence of the happen strain. And well, we need to get some tools for the quick detection, so we developed the detection method together with the Dr. Lo, the Taiwanese group. She also, almost the same time, we gave some clones to her groups, and she also sequenced this one. And she came up with like several primer pairs. And finally, we test them, and we end up in two primer pairs that, as you know, the AP1 and AP2, and released last year, at the end of last year. At this one, though, we test the sample with the bacteria that causing happen and non-happen bacteria. For the one that non-happen bacteria, it didn't show up any bands. And the same results showing with the, this one is from the trim tissue, the one that show the happens histopathologies, so show up the positive band, but the trim that is no happens, in the hepatopancreas, they didn't show the bands. So is this just testing the like which one is good primer? So they try to see, for example, the false positive or false negative in compared between the two, and it found out that AP2 give a better like specificity of the primer is about 98.7. Whereas the AP1 is only like 96. So Professor Tim Freckles, recommend to use AP2 primer for checking. And for the checking to avoid like the false negative results, he also recommend to enrich the sample that we would like to check for the AP primers. To enrich the primer is just to put them in the TASB, and they have like 1.5 sodium chloride supplement in incubate at 30 degrees at least like 4 or 6 hours, and then you will get a kind of bacteria in that solution, and then centrifuge to collect the bacteria pellet and throw away the supernatant, and then go for extraction of DNA. And we use like about 100 nanograms template for each PCR test. And well, we would like to know how the bacteria is contaminated in order to be able to avoid the pathogenic bacteria. So we would like to do some kind of investigation. Where is the risk are, and the picture that you saw, that one is the fecal matter from the broodstock, and the second one is the stomach from like the juvenile shrimps, and some of the fresh feed for the broodstock as well. And this one I'm showing that they're doing some kind of enrichment before going for the PCR detection. And with the collaboration with the DOF Thailand, we collect a sample from different locations. At least you will see that Songkhla, Trat, and Ryong is different shrimp farming area. And the sample that we use is from broodstock, nuclei, porikids, squid, artemia, oyster, clam, and some kind of krill, bloodworms. And probably we see the percent that we can detect using the AP2 primer. For example, the broodstock feces about 55% that we found the AP2 positive. And also, I would like you to focus on like the fresh feed for the broodstock, like squid and clams. We also like the clams. We got two samples, and two of them is positive. And this one is we got they use this one for the clam. This one we sample the fresh one. They use this one for feeding the broodstock from the south, and this kind of indicating that the biosecurity is kind of not so good in this case. And then we would like to know do some more academic research about what is the exactly the toxin that causing happens. So we use the strain, like happens or non-happen strain. We culture them in broth, and then we separate the broth using only the supernatant, and then we did some ammonium. We expect that toxin will be in the supernatant, and then we use the ammonium sulfate precipitation to make different fractions of proteins and potential toxins. And then we use the method that they call the reverse gouache to test for the amino sulfate precipitate fractions. And the dye color is just indicating that how far the protein has been introduced into the shrimps. And we use about 1 microgram protein per 1 gram of shrimp. We use a different fraction of the protein, but the one that give the result that we expected is from the 60% amino sulfate. And we also use to compare with the control in the black and the one that causing happens in the red one. And mortality for the non-happen strain is none, is zero. But for the happen strain, we got around like 40 to 70%. And we check for the sample. Actually, they have like, for example, in that one, they have like 6 shrimp dead. But most of the shrimp we collect, they die during the night. So it's not possible to collect them, because when we do histology, we will collect only the moribund shrimp. We don't collect the dead shrimp. And the one that we can collect is about like in the line below here. It's 3 sample and 4 sample for the China strain, and 3 sample for the 5-HP strain, and 2 out of 3 indicate positive happen histopathologies, but for the China strain, it's four, R4 is indicated the positive for happen pathologies. And this one is the histopathology for the control, the PBS plus red dye, and also the 60% amino sulfate of the non-pathogenic strain of happen. So the hepatopancreatic cell pretty look normal in this case. But for the 60% of the 5-HP strain, probably you see clear sloughing cells in the hepatopancreas, and it's also the same with the China strain. We also see a big sloughing cells here. And this one is the one that they didn't die. Also, but from the fraction of 60% fraction happens, and probably the degree of like cells laughing is less than what I showed you before. So it's not enough to make them die, but at least they show up something like not normal into their hepatopancreas. And this is the SDS page that compare between TSB broth control and SD is the non-pathogenic strain. And 5-HP and CN is the pathogenic strain. And what we focus is on number one and number two. This one probably the first priority protein that we would like to clone and to produce a protein and then to inject into the shrimp to see if it causes the happen phenotype or not. But probably it's not the single. We need some kind of combination between the two to see if it show up any happen symptoms. Now we are just producing the protein. And we come back a bit to the PCR primer again. As you know, in the this one, CP Thailand did this one for us. So they compare about using 100 sample or more to test the which one is good, which one is good primer. For AP1 and AP2, they show up like 98, almost 100%. But for the CN2, the one that CN2 is this, the band number 2 here, they use that hypothetical protein, that one, to design the primer. And you will see that the total number, they use only 81. So they don't test all of the one that they test with AP2 and but AP1. But they try to pick up the sample that AP1 and AP2 didn't show correctly. So they just pick up the sample that problematic one. For example, well, they show some false positive and false negative in AP1 and AP2. Then they pick up the sample to test with the ECN2. And when they test it, they found out the CN2 can give the better result, more correlation between the bacterial strain that CP tests. So CP, they has a lot of the hundreds or more that they already did the challenge test to see if it causing happen or not. So all of the 112 strain is already tested by the challenge, to see which one is causing happen and which one does not. So in this case, the CN2 give the better result. And this one we did with the DOF Thailand to do some cohort study. If you remember that I mentioned earlier, when we went for sampling, not many of sample. For example, when we go at least 10 farm or more, and when we did some histological sections, not all of them showing up like the happen histopathologies. So we cannot answer what was the cause of the rest that the hepatopancreatic cells normal. So we did this kind of the Thai cohort study using about 200 points, and they sent us a sample that show the early mortality death, early mortalities from the point that show the early mortality, and we check all of these criteria, like we check the happens, we check the gangly-like, and also we check the microsporidian, YHV, and white spot syndrome virus. And you can see that there is no well correlation between the loss that Thai farmer report. That let's say that if the Thai farmer probably they have the loss about 50%, that they claim that it's happened. But if you look at the survey that we did, it's below than that. So this might tell us the happens might not the single cause of the early mortality things, but one of the causes. And other high prevalence is like the one that we call the GLE. This one is like the worm-like structure, but it's not a worm. I will give you some information after this slide. And it's very high prevalence, it's about 85. And then also the microsporidium, also very high, like 58. Microsporidium when you look at the in situ of the microsporidium, when we did the histopancreas section, it will clogging into the area around the cells. So you might imagine that it might block some kind of releasing of the enzyme and will be a problem for shrimp to digest the nutrients or absorb the nutrients. And YHV 0%, and for WSSV about 13%. And this one is the granularity-like things that we found in shrimps. If you look without any further like microscopic view, you will see it look like a parasite. And the white circle over there is look like the spore, but or cyst. But when we look closer, this one is the close-up picture of the hepatopancreatic cells. And Professor Fagel, with the Dr. Siyuratana, she used the transmission microscopy to point out that they have some sloughing of the epithelial cells of the hepatopancreas. And this peeling or sloughing of microvilli, when it's big enough, they can form this kind of ganglion-like structure. And they can trap some kind of maybe trim cells inside, and this one make them look like a cyst, and the whole body structure is look like a worm. And this one is already impressed in the plus one. So I'll be end my presentation here, and this is our Taiwanese collaborators and also from the Thai research group supporters. Thank you very much for your attention.